The most popular form of visual storytelling these days is the movie. But even movies are changing to take advantage of the latest technology. Case in point, the Onyx Project, the world's first fully browsable, truly interactive movie. It's an independent film that you watch on a computer. Larry Atlas is the director and writer of the Onyx Project. He told Ann Strangechamps how this digital experiment in non-linear visual storytelling works.
You can see it in millions and millions of different ways, actually. It's made with a technology that we call NAV, N-A-V, for non-linear arrayed video, or just NAV for navigation. And basically, it's as you watch the video, icons become available to you at the bottom of the screen. And by selecting one of those icons as it's available, it takes you to another part of this video world, which is composed of almost 6 hours of video and hundreds of different scenes. And in that scene, in the new scene that you've been taken to, there are more icons available to you that link you on to other areas. And the icons are context-driven. That is to say, if we're talking about military action in one scene, an icon might light that indicates a link to another scene in which that subject has gone into in greater detail.
Well, tell me how this technology plays out in this movie that you made, The Onyx Project.
Well, the story is of an army colonel that David Strathairn plays, who prior to the last presidential election decides that he wants to mount a mission that may impact the presidential election. I won't go into more detail than that. And the mission doesn't work out the way he imagines it would. And he's, in a sense, retreated to a motel room to make his video testimony about what happened and why he did it and what the background was.
There are many that think that George Bush is a liar. Not about sex or business or even the National Guard, but about things that matter, things that really matter, things that get soldiers killed. That's a very hard thought. He said, the Iraqis possess biological and chemical weapons. That's a quote, and that was not true. Even when he said it, there was doubt. Does he know? Even today? And what am I? Luke says, judge not that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. The Bible also says, forgive and you will be forgiven. But I cannot believe that. I have no expectation of forgiveness, not from my superiors or my people or their families.
In the Onyx Project, in a sense, there are 10 major themes. There's a political theme, there's military, there's the men that he sent off on this mission, there's his own life, his own marriage, his upbringing, the religion of the areas, that is to say, Afghanistan, where the story is set, and so forth. And there are a number of different areas so that the viewer, depending on his or her interest, may wander, if you will, wander down one of these, down a storyline that goes into one of these areas and then jumps from there to what his wife thought about what he was doing and jumps from there to how he met his wife and jumps from there to his early days in the military, so forth and so on, really just kind of browsing back and forth among these major themes of his testimony, if you will.
So it's sort of the story of one man's life as he views it at a particularly critical juncture point. I can see that that would work really well for this form of storytelling because nobody's life fits into a very neat linear narrative.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, in this story, for a variety of reasons, is set in this one place, and we cut away from it to see footage and, you know, pictures of the man and his fam and his wife and so forth. So it's a very contained, physically contained kind of story. But you can imagine using this technology to span many different locations, to click on a telephone, for example, and take you to the place where the other person is talking on a telephone. and to enter into the world of a TV screen, for example, and travel down that way, kind of in the days of Myst and Riven, those kind of video games. Mm.
The subject of this film also is fairly political. Do you think that also somehow lent itself or made it a good subject for this kind of nonlinear storytelling treatment?
Well, it certainly was for me, because I was interested not so much in telling a partisan story, but even 2 years ago, it kind of seemed to me that there were a lot of people in the country who kind of hungered to move beyond partisanship. So this was a story, this is a story about a conservative guy who thinks very, and a military man, a career military man, who is brought to a place where he has to think very deeply about not just what he's done, but why he did it, and what the various influences on him were that led him to do it, and how, oh, say, the blogosphere affected him reading political blogs for, you know, months on end, and what he thought of the president and the sort of history of the current administration and how his actions paralleled the actions of the administration. So, yeah, I think you'd be hard-pressed to put that much detail, including that much, in a sense, history, into an ordinary fictional film. You just couldn't do it and maintain the audience's interest. Whereas with this kind of technology and this sort of format, we expect, and I think we find, that viewers come back to it again and again and again, and they may visit this world of this character for 20 minutes and then leave and come back a day later and spend another half hour in another part of the world and so forth and so on. I don't think you could have told this story in a regular film in anything like this sort of depth.
Well, I'm curious about whether you might also have wanted to take the kinds of stories we tell about politics to a new level. Because, for instance, if you're making a movie, or if you're, you know, say, giving a political speech about some particular thing that's happened, to try to make sense of it, usually people wind up telling a very linear kind of story. Mm. And yeah. And we're kind of, the form of our dialogue and the form of our storytelling kind of leads us to simplify things and turn stories into black and white. You know, they did this and so we did that. And I'm wondering whether you're wanting to kind of explode the way we tell political stories and to bring in a new sort of level of complexity.
I would say absolutely yes. I mean, the way we tell political stories has devolved into a 30-second linear motion picture. The political spot, you know, that's really kind of the metaphor for our political conversation in this country. Even movies that I love, even political movies that I love, are ipso facto, because of their linearity, their one point of view. And I don't think that, I mean, that may have served us well for a certain period in time, but for a million reasons that are probably beyond the scope of this conversation, it's no longer serving us well. We need other ways to tell stories, to tell our national story to one another.
So could people come up with very different interpretations of this film depending on what order they watched it in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have no doubt that that's happening, that people are, depending on where they're coming from politically, that they come to it and say, oh, well, this, you know, this just supports, this is a guy I identify with, and he's totally in agreement with me. And another person would take away something very different from it. I think that's possible, and for me as a filmmaker, that's okay. I don't mind that. I also hope that they'll explore a little longer and maybe start to think, hey, wait a second, this is not exactly what I thought it was, and be drawn in that way, in a way they wouldn't be otherwise.
There's a mystery at the center of the story that isn't really revealed until the end, which makes me wonder, how do people know when they get to the end?
No, that's a good question. There really is no end. I mean, it really is a nonlinear world. So there are things that are revealed that I think, you know, once you've experienced them, you would understand kind of emotionally that you've reached the core of the story and the core of what he did. And you get that not from anything that I do, but as the director or editor, but from what David does with his performance and what hopefully we've done with the writing as well. But there is no classic end to this, any more than there's a classic beginning. On the DVD, you have a choice of, I think it's 5 or 6 different places to enter the world. Presumably, at some point, you might feel like you've explored the world and are ready to put it down. But that's it. No beginning and no end.
This is Bush's genius. That he gets you to identify your self-interest with his. and with the idea that your self-interest and his political success are somehow good for America. But what is America if not those men I sent to their deaths? What is leadership if not a willingness to accept responsibility for bad judgment, whether it's me sending those men after a terrorist who was never there, or George Bush sending an army into Iraq after weapons that didn't exist, me violating my uniform by seeking a political advantage for the president, or him violating his office by exploiting for partisan advantage a tragedy that befell all Americans.
That's actor David Strathairn in a scene from The Onyx Project. Larry Atlas is the writer and director of The Onyx Project, the world's first fully browsable, truly interactive film. Atlas spoke with N. Strange Champs.